all of our visitors, and we're really happy if you put some money in the offering plate. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. That was not approved by the board, so I must refrain from that comment. But at this time, my beautiful wife and my lovely mother-in-law are going to take my two girls to the preschool that wants to go downstairs. Or if some of you are as mature as preschoolers, you are welcome to go down as well. All right, Jared, you stay up here for today. All right. Uh-oh, there they go. Can we give them a round of applause this morning? That's what my wife's job is to do, right? No, I'm just kidding. And if you're blessed by our worship team, you know, our worship team does a marvelous job each and every week of sacrificing their time. They're here early, all right? And if you haven't ever been here real early, they spend time rehearsing, practicing, and fixing the mistakes and the concerns they have. So can we just give it up for our worship team one time for a job they do? And I just have to ask, are you excited to be here worshiping and giving all to our God who washed away our sin? And how great is He? How great is He? And if you've been here over the last few weeks, you've seen this statement on the screen quite a bit. Today is week 5 of our I Am series, where we're going through the 7 I Am statements given to us by Jesus, all recorded in the Gospel account of John. What we're doing is we're going straight to the red letters of our Bible. We want to know exactly what Jesus said about Himself. We want to know who He says He is. And I have challenged you each and every week to truly take Jesus at His word, putting your faith and trust in His word and His promise. And if in doing that, we might just see mountains start to move. We might just see different things start to change. We might just get to see God perform miracles within our lives. And my challenge is to put your faith and your trust in His very word and in His promises to you and to me. And like I said, today is week 5. And every week you've heard me say this, that our main goal, our main prayer throughout this entire series, the 7 weeks, is that you and I with confidence could proclaim that we truly know the Son of the living God. By putting our faith and trust in Him, taking Him at His word, growing into a relationship with Him. Because we read through the scriptures that Jesus will one day say to people, "Depart from me, for I did not know you." And He's going to say that to some people one day who may have been to church every week. He's going to say that to people who may have even thrown money in the offering plate, served in different capacities. He's going to say that to people because they didn't truly know Him and He didn't truly know them in return. So my prayer and my challenge for you is to truly take Him at His word, putting your faith and your trust in His promise, believing in Him and what He is capable of doing. And in that growth, in that faith, in that trust, in obedience to His word, you might just see that you grow into a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to read the story that Jesus claims to be the resurrection and the life with a good man named Lazarus. If you have your Bible, go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. If you notice, there will not be scriptures on the screen, and I have to ask, is it okay if I open up my Bible and read a little bit this morning? Is that okay with everybody? Is it all right if we actually read through the scriptures today instead of throwing a snapshot on the TV screen? And if you also notice, I place Bibles all throughout the church in random places. Not for you to hunt, but if you need a Bible, we have random Bibles placed throughout here. I thought ahead and I was proactive this week and placed Bibles throughout here because I'm not going to read the entire chapter 11, but I am going to read a good portion of it. Does anybody need a Bible? If you didn't bring your Bible, didn't bring a smartphone or any devices, they might need a Bible. And if you don't need one, if you have one, then great. But if you're using one of these today and you don't have a Bible of your own, then consider it a gift. All right, I bear good tidings when I come into this church real early on Sunday and throw Bibles around the place. So consider this your gift from the church. I could say for me, but I'm not going to. But I want to go to John chapter 11. I want to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read a good portion here. So if you fall asleep, I warned you ahead of time. All right, if you fall asleep during the read, I warned you ahead of time. And in the midst of your grocery list and shopping list, I warned you before. So John chapter 11, and I want to start in verse 1. And if you're new to the Bible, if this is your first time, open it. The table of contents will help you get there. And there's no shame in that whatsoever. John chapter 11, starting in verse 1, says this. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Take a mental note of that. Keep that in your mind. Circle that verse or underline something so you remember that. In verse 5 it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you were going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. They thought that he was going to be a rude friend and wake him up from his nap. You know, kick the reclining leg out and wake him up. And in verse 15, or verse 14, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Take note of that. Remember that. 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That sounds really familiar. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let me ask you, church, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. He asks her that, and she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now I want you to skip on down to verse 43. And in verse 43 it says, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Why a loud voice? The rumor is dead people are hard hearing. So he had to cry out with a loud voice. Lazarus, come out. Somebody tell some living people who can't hear. And you're calling out to them all the time. Mom! Dad! Grandma, Grandpa. But he calls out to Lazarus with a loud voice. And he says, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out. Boy, that was a lot of reading. That's why I drank a lot of water this morning. That's probably the most I've ever read and probably the most I'll ever read again in a sermon. But I wanted you to get the gist of the story. Okay, and if you weren't tracking there or if you weren't listening, I'll just tell you again. So Jesus is informed that his good friend dies. He stays put 2 days longer in the current place that he was at. And it's strange because the Bible tells us that he loved these people dearly. And you would think that he would run straight to them, but there may be a reason why he stayed put for two more days. And we'll get there in a minute. Jesus gets to them, and he's met and he's greeted by a very agitated sister that he didn't show up when they needed him. And he's met by this woman who's going crazy because her brother is now dead. But if Jesus would have been there, he would have been living. And we'll see how you and I might be able to relate to this woman, Martha. And Jesus, over those few verses that we skipped, he's talking with the people, and they tell him, hey, don't go near him. He's dead now for 4 days, and he stinks. The King James Version uses the word stinketh. I mean, some of you know people who haven't showered in 4 days, and you can kind of get a gist of what that may have smelled like. And he's warned not to go, but Jesus says, this is my dear friend, and because I told you that I'm going to be glorified through this, it doesn't lead to death. Watch this. And he goes, and he tells Lazarus, come out. Lazarus then walks out of the grave. But Jesus told her, he says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Do you believe this? And we have to ask ourselves, do I truly believe that? Am I truly taking Jesus at his word? And today I want to mention a few things that you can find to be true. If you live by that statement, if you put your faith and your trust in that statement, I want to mention a few things. If you want to write them down, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin or in the middle of your grocery list, go ahead and write this down. The first thing is this. Through the resurrection, we are directed to a new destiny known as life. Through the resurrection. I don't want you to just think of the resurrection this morning as an event that took place, but also a man. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And what we realize is that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, if we follow him with all of our heart, give him all of our being, and we follow him on a daily basis, a weekly basis, sometimes we fall short, but we get back up by his mercy, by his grace. Through his power, through the resurrection, we are directed to a new destiny. Because it's only by the hands of Jesus that broken things can be made beautiful. It's only by the hands of Jesus that you and I, who were lost in sin and dead in our transgressions, can be brought to life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation or a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Therefore, I am no longer dead in my transgressions, and I am no longer dead in the way that I live. I'm no longer walking down this path leading to eternal destruction by the power of Jesus Christ through him. As the resurrection, as the life, I'm brought to, from death to life. I go from leading a life, walking down this path leading to eternal separation and eternal death. But it's only through the power of the resurrection, it's only through the power of Jesus Christ, that when I put my faith and trust into his words and in his promises, and I follow him, that I see my eternal destination has been directed to a new destiny, and a new destination, which is eternal life. Only Jesus Christ has walked, only person that's ever walked this earth that can make dead things come back to life is Jesus. And I'm talking spiritually here. Because the reality is that apart from Jesus, you and I are just spiritually dead, living in our own fleshly desires, living in my wants, living in what makes me comfortable, living in my self-pleasure, living in my self-righteousness, living in my idolatry, living in my adultery, living in my lust, living in my greed. And all of those things that we enjoy so much or that we live in are blotted out only by the resurrection in Jesus. Only by the new life that Jesus has for us. So you and I, through the resurrection, are directed to a new destiny, a new eternal destination. We're taken from death, we're brought to life. We're taken from darkness, and we're brought into light. Only Jesus can take formless things and make them new. Only Jesus, by his hand, can take broken things and repair them, take broken relationships and restore them, take broken marriages and heal them, take broken finances and restore them. Only by the power of Jesus. And through the resurrection, we are directed to a new destiny. The second thing I want you to note here may be the most difficult to truly live by. And it says this, that God's timing is always on time. Oh, that's not right. I mean, sometimes he's not on time because I called out to him and he did not show up. I've asked this time after time. He still hasn't showed up. God, if you truly love me, you would have been here by now. As Martha says, if you truly loved us, if you truly cared, you would have been here before now. And if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. Some of us can relate to Martha. We've had those moments of, God, if you would have moved before now. But God's timing is always on time. See, when Jesus is informed of his friend passing away, what's the Bible say he did? He waited 2 days. He stayed put for 2 more days. And he comes to Lazarus on what day? Day 4. You all, man, y'all are smart. Okay, you all pay attention real well. But do you want to know what may have been one of the reasons he waited until day 4? It may have been one of the Jewish traditions when it came to the grave. Do you want to know what it was? You do? Oh, thank you. I didn't hear anybody say that, but I'll just assume that you did. All right? It's not in the scripture here. It's not in this passage that this is the reason Jesus waited. But it may have been one of the Jewish traditions of the time and one of the, you know, the folk tales or the wise tales. And this is what that Jewish tradition was. That when I was to die, I would be placed in my grave here. I would be wrapped up, placed in the grave. And the tradition was this. That for 3 days, the spirit of the dead person would hover around and within the grave. So at any point in those 3 days, if the spirit were to go back into the body would be risen from the grave, from the dead. But Jesus waits until day 4. Because on day 4, it was only by the power of Jesus that the dead body walked out of the grave. Because what would happen is if on days 1 through 3, Jesus commands Lazarus to walk out, the people who opposed Jesus, the people who hated Jesus and wanted him dead, would have said it was just a coincidence because the spirit was still hovering within the grave the first 3 days. So what they would do is they would then reject the glory of God by Lazarus walking out. So Jesus waits until day 4. And it may have been because by their tradition, by on day 4, the spirit is gone. The spirit is gone on day 4, and that's when Jesus shows up. Maybe it's because if Jesus would have shown up at the request, people would have been tempted to take some of his glory. Let me just ask you, you can be honest or you can lie to us in church today. Have you ever wondered where God was? Just raise your hand if you're honest. If you're one of the liars, just keep your hands down, okay? All right. And I'm not talking, is he on that mountain or is he in St. Louis or is he stationed in New York? I mean, where are you in this very moment? In this season of my life, where are you? I've thought it. I've asked it. I've cried it out. Where are you, God, in your love? Have you ever wondered why God hasn't healed yet? Why he hasn't healed the body? Why he hasn't healed your heart? Why he hasn't healed that person in your family or on your friends list? Why haven't you healed God if you truly loved us? Have you ever wondered that? God, why haven't you moved this mountain or that barrier? If you truly loved, if you were truly on, you know, in my favor, if you loved me, I love you, I give you all, I'm following you, I'm living in your will and by your word. God, where are you? I want that. Why haven't you moved? Why are these relationships not reconciled yet? Why is this marriage still broken? Why is my heart still hurting? Why haven't we cut into any debt? I've been following you and living by your word and by your promise. Where are you? I think we've all probably asked those questions. But just for a minute, I want you to think, have you ever wondered if God's waiting to show up? Because if he showed up upon your request, you might be tempted to claim some of his glory. Because if I'm having problems in my marriage, and I'm the only one working, and then I think, you know what, let me pray about it, and then the very next day things are working, I might not give God the glory of restoring my marriage and reconciling my heart to my wife. I might say, boy, I was working hard, and it paid off. Boy, I filled out applications, I went to interviews, I got phone call after phone call. They must really like me. And sometimes I wonder if God were to move upon our request, then we might be tempted to claim some of his glory. Or we might not give the glory his due to him. We might just chalk it up as, boy, that went well. Or, boy, things are really turning around. But maybe Jesus is waiting to move so that we aren't tempted to claim some of his glory. Because in those moments of delay that we're waiting on God to move, we're waiting on him to restore, we're waiting for him to move these miracles and move these mountains, it's in that moment of delay that it is very easy to grow discouraged. God must have turned his back on me. God must not love me. What have I done? What's going on in my life that he's punishing me? And all he's wanting us to do is just wait. All he's wanting us to do is just wait for him to show up. Because sometimes, in order for the real hope to show up, we have to reach that point of feeling hopeless. Until we reach the point of feeling hopeless, the real hope may never show up. So in that moment of delay, we grow discouraged. And if you remember in verse 4, what did Jesus say about this illness? Do you remember what he said about the illness? He said this illness does not lead to death. This illness does not lead to death. The very thing that you think is going wrong and you think is dying off when you feel trapped, let me just encourage you. It can be easy to grow in discouragement in this moment of delay during this period of waiting. Let me encourage you with this. In the season of your life right now, in the circumstances you face right now or the ones to come, they will not kill you. In the circumstances that you face waiting for God to show up and you feel like things are dying and you feel trapped within the grave, and like the linen strips are wrapped around your heart, and those relationships have not been restored yet. Let me just encourage you this, that it will not kill you, it will not destroy your family, it will not destroy your future, as long as you patiently wait for Jesus to show up. Because once Jesus shows up, it may not be on your time, but it is always on time. And once Jesus shows up, once the real hope shows up, that's when the miracle takes place. But if he was to show up immediately as you called, you might be tempted to claim some of his glory. And in the circumstances you face now, or the brokenness you will face in the future, the difficult seasons of your life that you will face, let me just encourage you that you will not die. Because Jesus said, whoever lives in him and believes in him shall not die. They may be temporarily uncomfortable, but one day I'll live in glory. They may be difficult right now to wrap my head around why things are happening like this to me after all I've done for him and all I've lived through. Why is it happening to me? It may be a little difficult right now, but I'll promise you this. One day, even though you will breathe your last breath here on this earth, you will live forever and ever and ever. If I'm living by the resurrection and the life, I may breathe my last breath, and some people may be happy about that, but I may breathe my last breath. Some people may mourn that. I may breathe my last breath, and people will wonder how it happened or why it happened or why did it happen now, but the reality is I may breathe my last breath here on this earth, and the reality is that every person in this church, if you didn't know this, I hate to burst your bubble, but one day you will breathe a last breath on this earth. But through the resurrection in Jesus Christ, we will live forever and ever and ever. That's worthy of praising God. That's worthy of viewing my circumstances as temporary and viewing eternity as forever. Let me put my faith, let me put my hope, let me put my thoughts in what he has to come versus what I am doing now. And the third thing I want you to note, write down, or if you haven't fallen asleep yet, is God's glory is shown through empty graves. God's glory is shown through empty graves. So when the sun showed up, he commands Lazarus to what? Come out. And the grave represents death. And when there's an empty grave, it means that what once was dead is now alive. Lazarus comes out of the grave at the very word of Jesus to come out. Therefore, the glory of God is on full display when Lazarus comes out on day 4. And it kind of reminds me of this really cool story that we read and that our entire hope is based on. This story of an empty grave where people will travel all the way across the country and all the way across the world, I mean, to see an empty tomb. And within that empty tomb, there's nothing there, but people will go and see, and that empty tomb once was filled by the body of Jesus. But Jesus left the grave empty. And God's glory was on full display when Jesus walked out of the grave to leave it empty. So Lazarus told to come out. Jesus came out of the grave. God's glory is shown through empty graves. Because what once was dead is now brought to life. But I want us to think. I would say we're all thankful that the grave was empty. We're all thankful that our hope is found in an empty tomb. We're all thankful for the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ to walk out of the grave. We're all thankful that Lazarus, you know, gives us an example of what it'll be like spiritually for us in Christ to go from death to life. Well, let's go back to the empty tomb of Jesus. And if you were here on Easter, you might have remembered if you were awake during the sunrise service, or if you weren't experiencing the itis during the second service from all the good food, you may remember the sermon I preached on the linen cloths that were lying in the tomb. You remember when John and Peter, they ran to the tomb, and what did they see? There was no body there. And in chapters 19 and 20, you'll read that there's no body there at the tomb, but there were linen cloths and a face cloth inside the grave. Okay, so if I read verse 44 here, it says that the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, this is the very first command that Jesus gives after Lazarus comes to life. He says, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him and let him go, meaning remove the linen strips from his body and free him. So inside the grave, there were also linen cloths there on the area that he lay. There was a face cloth there. The first thing that Jesus commands when Lazarus comes to life is to remove the linen strips and the face cloth. And there's a little bit of significance within the face cloth and the linen strips. It was because this, when Jesus died, he was wrapped in linen cloths. He was bound in linen cloths and had a face cloth. When Lazarus died, they wrapped him in linen cloths and a face cloth. So what once bound a dead body had no business being carried out of the grave. So even though the grave was empty when Jesus left, for a few days or a few hours, there was still something inside the grave, and there was linen cloths there. And these linen cloths once represented the death of Jesus. And these linen cloths represented the shame that you have, the sorrow that you live in, the greed that you abide by. It served for your idolatry, your adultery, your lust. Every sin that you have committed, it was lying inside the tomb. Because through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, what was once dead is left behind. And behold, new things have come. And it goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when Paul wrote that, in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things come. And the reality is that sometimes you and I like to dwell within the grave. Because within the grave, I like to live in some of the sin that makes me comfortable. Because in the grave, I'm comfortable. And if I could just kind of stay put right here, you know, I know Jesus wants me to do this, but I really like being wrapped in these linen strips because they're warm, they're comfortable. And it's uncertain to me to see what life would look like if I was to leave the grave. But this is what I want you to know. Jesus told Lazarus, come out of the grave. Meaning leave behind what once represented your death and come into a new life in which I have for you. And what I want you to know today is that Jesus is calling you and telling you this. Come out. Come out and see the resurrecting power that I have. And whenever we truly put our faith and trust in the resurrecting power, old things pass away. Old lifestyles pass away. Old habits that were leading me down the path of destruction pass away. The idolatry I used to live in, the greed I used to have, the pride I used to have, the ego I continue to carry, the self-righteousness I expect from other people, all of these things pass away whenever we step out of the grave. And the reality is sometimes it's hard because it's what we know, it's comfortable, it's what people taught us. Let me just tell you this. If you were to picture yourself wrapped in linen cloth, and wrapped in linen strips, and have a face cloth, it's kind of difficult to see the path in which Jesus is calling you to. I mean, if my face is covered, I can't really see where I'm going. If my body is bound to these linen strips, I have no idea where Jesus is calling me, what he's wanting me to do. And if I had any idea, I couldn't do anything about it because my hands are tied, my feet are wrapped, and I can't do anything. But I want you to know he's telling you this, just come out. Come out of the grave and see the resurrecting power which I have. Come out of the grave and leave behind the things that should pass away because, behold, new things have come. Come out of the grave and see the chain-breaking power in which Jesus possesses. Come out of the grave and see how Jesus will take those linen strips and unwrap you and guide you to a new life. Come out. Come out, come out, come out of the grave. And it's the moment that we come out of the grave that God's glory is on full display. And what I want you to know is this. In the moments of delay, it's in the moments of doubt, in the moments of uncertainty, through your greatest pains, God can be glorified. Through your greatest doubts, God can be glorified. It's by simply waiting on him to show up. In the moments of feeling hopeless, in the moments of feeling helpless, it's when the real hope and real help shows up and miracles take place. What he wants you to do and he wants me to do in those areas of our life where we still feel trapped, where we're still living in sin, he just simply wants you to come out. Come out. Unwrap yourself and experience the life in which I bring. Jesus didn't come to die and to rise on the third day so that we live this life walking wrapped in linen strips or with our face covered. He came so that we can live and experience life abundantly, so that we can live freely, entering in and exiting out and finding pasture. He came to give us life. Come out. Come out. Let's pray.